So we're going to begin the Sicha in Chelek Yud Aleph, Parshas Tetzaveh, Sicha Beis. This is a Sicha about the Choshen, specifically about the Urim V'Tumim, which is the Shem HaMefurish in the Choshen, which Rashi explains in this week's Parsha, and regarding the fact that Urim V'Tumim was missing in the Choshen that the Kohen Gadol wore in the Bayis Sheni. And the Rebbe will explain, according to Pshuta Shel Mikra, how Rashi teaches what this Urim V'Tumim is, and more generally, what the pshat in the word mishpat that the Torah uses in connection to the choshen. Ve'pasuk v'nasata el ha-choshen ha-mishpat es ha-urim v'satumim goymer. Mefarish Rashi es ha-urim v'satumim. What's the pshat of urim v'tumim? Hu ksav shem ha-mefurish. This is a ksav that has Hashem's explicit name. And it was placed inside the folds of the Choshen. Through this Urim V'Tumim, the words of the Choshen were illuminated and it brought perfection to the words of the Choshen. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there was the Choshen. The Kohen Gadol had this Beged, the Choshen as well. Because the Kohen Gadol cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash, missing any of the Begadim. Aval Oisei Hashem lo yahai b'toichai. This Shem, the Urim V'Tumim, was not there inside the Choshen. Val Shem Oisei HaKsav hu Korei Mishpat. It's because of this Ksav that was inside of the folds of the Choshen that the Choshen is called Mishpat, judgment. Shenemar v'shoa loy b'mishpat ha'urim. As you see later, it says that the Choshen, the questions will be asked of the Choshen, and the Choshen would give a judgment, the words of the Choshen would give the message through this Shem HaMefarish, the letters that were inscribed, and the Choshen would shine and would give the message that was an answer to the question that was asked from the Choshen. V'tzarech lahavin. So there are the following problems with this Rashi. Aleph, darkish or Rashi lefarish pshuta shel mikra. Rashi only comes to explain pshat in the pasuk. Lefize, to move on, hapirish kan. If so, the question over here on this pirish of Rashi, befrad barichos, and especially that Rashi speaks at such a length, eich hoya choshen b'mikdash hasheni. What is the choshen in the second Beis HaMikdash? So why is Rashi coming and explaining this? How was there a choshen in the second Beis HaMikdash? Rashi has to explain regarding the history of what happened in the second Beis HaMikdash. That's not negay to the pshat of the pasuk. For oid meisif tam adavar shei efshar lekayim v'chul. And Rashi comes and proves the fact it's impossible to say that the Kohen Gadol is without a choshen. Why is all of this necessary to explain for the pshat of the pasuk? Beis, another problem with this Rashi is kavanas Rashi b'chol mokim lefarish teves hakosuf shumatikam. Rashi always comes and explains those words of the pasuk that he actually quotes. He quotes the words of the pasuk, and then he explains those words. If so, why does Rashi hear where Rashi is quoting our pasuk, explaining this pasuk here? So why is Rashi explaining that Val Shem Oisiyaksav Chulu? That this explains a pasuk that it says later on in Parshas Pinchas. That's the pshat over there of mishpat ta'urim, the judgment that came from this urim v'tumim. The mekaymai b'pirush ha-pasuk ahu. Rashi should wait to explain this over there when he comes to that pasuk. Why does he explain it here? Gimel, a third question is lo yizubul v'atshei mekay mekan. Not only is this not the place where Rashi should be explaining this, el adarab, on the contrary, bir zeu b'stiru hu l'mashakosav Rashi lefneza. The explanation Rashi says here seems to contradict what Rashi said before. Im hu kari choshen mishpat rak al shem oisei haksav. If the term choshen mishpat means that it's called choshen mishpat only because of the ksav that was inside of the folds of the choshen, hare beheder haksav yechzer gam bin yonai ke choshen ha-mishpat. So if you don't have that ksav shem ha-mefurish inside of the choshen, so it's not a choshen, it's not called choshen mishpat anymore. It's missing that ability to give the judgment. So v'nimtza, if so, sheyesh makim leima, there's room to say, the b'mikta sheni, shelo hoya oz ha-ksav b'toich ha-choshen, the choshen did not have this ksav, hoya kohen gadol mechusse begadim. So the kohen was lacking something in this beged. Heipach mimasher kosov Rashi lefneza. It's the exact opposite point that Rashi's making beforehand, that in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Choshen, the actual Choshen, the Beged, the Kohen had, what was lacking was just what was inside in the fold, the Ksav. But then Rashi makes the point that no, that this name, Choshen Mishpat, is al shame that Ksav. So if you don't have the Ksav, so then it's not called Choshen Mishpat. So the Chayre, in fact, the Kohen is lacking in the Choshen Mishpat at the time of Bayis Sheni. Later, this pasuk of Mishpat Bnei Yisrael, the pasuk says Mishpat Bnei Yisrael. Shebe pasuk zeh Kosev Rashi. What's pshat Mishpat Bnei Yisrael? That the Choshen was Mishpat Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi says two pshatim. First pshat, Dvarim shehi nishpatim v'nechachem al yaday. The Choshen was used for judgment, for a final conclusion. Im lasis davarim loy lasis. When there was a question that was asked by to the Choshen, should it be done, should it not be done? So the Choshen gave an answer, a conclusion, what should be done. Fi medrash agode. Then Rashi says another pshat according to the medrash. Sha Choshen mechaper al mu'ufse adin. Because the Choshen atones for any judgment that justice was not done there. So therefore, Nikra Mishpat, the Choshen, which atones for those judgments, is called Mishpat, Hashem Slichas HaMishpat, because it atones for the judgment. Gam, Pirush Ezeh Kasha, here as well, it's difficult to understand. Aleph number one, Beis Pirush HaMeilu Kvar Omram Rashi Lefneze. Both of these Pshatim, Rashi already said earlier on, the Parsha Zu'atzma over here in this Parsha itself, Al Choshen Mishpat, the first time the Torah refers to the Choshen. As Choshen Mishpat, Rashi over there said both Pshatim. Why does Rashi have to say this again over here a second time? If we already know the pshat of Choshen Mishpat. Beis, another difficulty is, Bepirushi HaKedem Nemru, Beis HaPirushim B'Seder Hafuch. There, the first time around when Rashi brings this, it's in the opposite order. Mimasha Nemru LaHalon. From the way it said later on over here in this Rashi. Aleph, over there, the first pshat Rashi brings is, Shemachaper al kilkul adin. The first pshat is that the Choshen comes to atone for justice that was not served. Va'achekach, and only the second pshat, beis, dover acher, mishpat means, shemevarer dvarav, clarifies its words, v'avtachosa yemes, and whatever it promises turns out to be true, loshem birur dvarim, that it clarifies its words, shemevarer, shemevarer dvarav. That it gives a clear message of how one should conduct himself and a clear promise of how things should be done. So there Rashi says it in the opposite order of the way he says it here. So that itself needs a question, needs explanation. So harei neis afalakeishi mitzad hashini b'sei d'dvarav. In addition to the obvious question, why does Rashi switch the order of his words? Hamuduyakim b'chol prat. Rashi's words are of course precise in every detail, including the order. Yesh l'tmaya alastira bo b'kvishini zeh. It sort of brings a contradiction when Rashi changes the order of the two pshatim that he quotes. Why is that? Hapirishem amidei Rashi l'rishayna. When Rashi brings one pshat first, oisai teifis ki ike pirusha. He's bringing it first because Rashi considers that to be the main pshat. Vimkein chiluf haseder. When Rashi changes the order, machluf kviyas hapirish ikri. So he's switching what he considers to be the main pshat of the words. In this case, choshen mishpat. Magam shulakamonu mevias pirushi hasheni b'tur medrash agoda. Not only does Rashi switch the order, here, in the second time around, Rashi actually says that the second pshat is only a medrash. So what Rashi is saying with that is, she'ein pirush zel derech hapshat legamri. This second pshat cannot really fit into the pasuk in its simplest pshat. Ki im b'derech agoda hamiyashev es divrei hamikra. As Rashi himself says in other places, that he brings a drash from a medrash in order to explain the pshat, but it's not really the pashat pshat of the pasuk. So not only does Rashi bring it a second, but he points out that this second pshat is not the simple pshat of the pasuk. Ki machmas akeishe bepirushi erishin. Rashi will bring a second pshat of a medrash because of a difficulty in the first pshat. Shekol kulei al derech hapshat. It is the first pshat is the more simpler literal pshat of the pasuk, but there still is a difficulty with that pshat. Mochrech lahavi pirush medrash agada. So Rashi has to bring a second pshat from the medrash. She'eni al derech hapshat legamri, which is not a pshat according to pshat, it's not the pshat of the pasuk. But on pipirush le'el earlier, the first time around al choshen mishpat, when Rashi teaches the word choshen mishpat, hevi'oi kipirush rishon ve'ikri. There, Rashi brings this very same pshat that here he says is only an agoda. There, it's the first and main pshat of the pasuk. How could this be? What changed from before to now? So the Rebbe explains as follows. So here the Rebbe will point out that Rashi is really coming to answer the place of where this pasuk appears when the Torah describes the Choshen. The place where it comes is unusual, and Rashi has to answer what happened over here. So to explain all of this, when you look at the beginning and then the continuation of this parsha, the Torah already says all the details of how the choshen should be made, the materials, the measurements, and the stones, and how it was placed inside, and all the details. The Torah sort of concludes the parsha and says, "V'nasa Aaron, and Aaron will wear this choshen. B'choshen amishpat aliboy. The choshen amishpat is worn by the heart. So it's shebezen nigmar l'chayde kolinin achoshen. Seemingly, this concludes the whole parsha of the choshen, of all the details of making it, even concluding with the fact. And now it's done. It's complete, and Aaron wears it. Aval acha kach mamshich b'kosov." Following that, the Torah comes back as if it forgot a detail, and it comes back to say, "V'nasato el choshen hamishpat es ha'urim v'satumim." You have to place inside the folds of the choshen the urim v'tumim, and "V'nasa Aaron es mishpat bnei Yisrael geimer." And Aaron HaKohen will carry this choshen together with the urim v'tumim inside. So the question is, what happened over here? Why does the Torah leave out this detail and say that Aaron HaKohen wears it and then comes back and says that you have to place this Urim V'tumim inside the Choshen? So since the Urim V'tumim is not mentioned earlier as one of the details, how you make the Choshen, it comes after the Torah concluded, as a separate and special thing for itself. Move on the pasture, say that I'm a Krois. So it's understood from the order of the Pasik, Sha'urim v'tumim einom chelik mimaisa ha'choshen atzmai, ela dova noisav al etzem ha'choshen. It's not part of that very choshen, the object of the choshen itself. It's not part of the instructions the Torah gives about the details of how to make the choshen. It's a separate thing that was placed inside the choshen. It's separate to the essence of the choshen itself. It's an additional thing, not separate necessarily, but an additional thing to the choshen itself. And therefore, after Rashi explains what this Urim V'tumim is. First Rashi has to tell us the meaning of Urim V'tumim. But after Rashi explains, this is the Ksav of the Eibush's name that was placed inside the folds of the Choshen. And now through this Ksav, the Choshen's words will shine. So the Ksav inside affects the Choshen itself, that the words and the message of the Choshen shines. The Mizeh Nireh, and now based on this interpretation of Urim V'tumim, it would seem, Shel Urim V'tumim, Hinam Chaylek Ma Choshen Atzmai. It's an integral part of the Choshen itself. The Urim V'tumim completes the Choshen. It causes that the Choshen should be able to give its message. Shle Musa Shel HaChoshen, the completion of the Choshen is what's placed inside the fold, that it sha'al yodei, that through it, the Choshen is able to give his message. If so, this comes in contradiction to what's obviously understood in the Pasuk, that the fold, what was inside the fold, the Urim V'tumim, is separate. It's an additional thing. It's not the Choshen itself. So what's pshat over here? It would seem that the Urim V'tumim is an integral part for the Choshen itself. So therefore, Mamshech Rashi liyashiv kushizu. Therefore, Rashi continues to answer this question. Rashi is coming to answer the question that's negeya to us to understand the pasuk. He's not just coming to tell us a historical fact about what happened in Bayis Sheni when the Kohen did not have the Urim V'tumim. The Kohen wore the Choshen, because a Kohen cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash if he's lacking one of the clothing. The Shem inside the fold was not there. The Mizeh Muchach, so this proves the fact, it's not part of the very garment, the essence of the garment itself. As we see that in the second Beis HaMikdash, he did not have the Urim V'tumim, and still it's not considered that the Kohen was lacking that beged. He had all the Shmeine Begadim, including the Choshen. So Rashi is bringing this to prove to you and demonstrate the fact that the Urim V'tumim is an additional feature to the Choshen. It's not part of the essence of the Choshen itself. However, here Rashi continues because this itself needs an additional explanation. If, as we said before, what is the function of the Urim V'Tumim? The Urim V'Tumim is there to give, to allow the Choshen to give its message. So if so, isn't it that an integral part of the very object of the Choshen itself? So Rashi proved it from the second Beis HaMikdash that it must be that the Choshen could be the Beged there without it, though, but it still needs an explanation. Lama be'emes le'yiyu davar ha'ma'akev v'shleimis ha'choshen. Why would the Urim V'Tumim not be something that should be integral and therefore prevent the ability to have this Beged of the Choshen if you don't have the Urim V'Tumim inside? K'moy shachalokov. Like all of the other parts of the Choshen, the stones in the Choshen, if you're missing one stone, then the beged is incomplete and you can't wear the beged. Shekol echad hu prat hama'akev beklolus in yonish al ha'choshen. Each one of the individual stones that are in the Choshen are ma'akev in the Choshen. If there is missing one stone, you can't wear it. Why wouldn't we say the same thing regarding the Urim V'Tumim? Ubefrat shal Urim V'Tumim hinam l'chayri inyin ikri ba'choshen. It's not just like one of the stones, but it's a very important part of the Choshen. That's what allows the Choshen to give the message that it's meir and metamim, the perfect message that it gave. So it's lacking. It's completely lacking. So therefore Rashi explains. So here's the third point that Rashi says that val shem oisayak sav hu kori mishpat. It's because of this ksav, because of what's inside in the folds, Urim V'Tumim, that it's called mishpat. That's only integral for the mishpat of the Choshen. Haynu sherakin yina mishpat, the mishpat aspect of the Choshen. Shehu dava neisaf al etzem haChoshen. It's an additional feature to the very object, to the very garment or ornament of the Choshen. Toli ba ksav shel Urim V'Tumim is dependent on this ksav inside, which is the Urim V'Tumim. Avul guf ve'etzem ha'choshen, the very choshen itself, ha'beged, as a garment, to wear as a garment, shalim hu gam b'li urim v'tumim. The garment is complete without having the urim v'tumim. Ve'ein ha'kohen gadol mechusse begadim, like we said before in the second Beis HaMikdash, the kohen gadol is not lacking in any of his begadim if he's wearing the choshen without the urim v'tumim. So on one hand, the urim v'tumim is very integral to the choshen. Only through it could the choshen give its message. However, it's not integral to the Choshen as a beged, as a garment. It's integral to the feature that this garment had to give a judgment, to give a message. And therefore, the actual beged itself is complete without that Urim V'Tumim. So we have that distinction here that clarifies the whole Indian, and we understand clearly where Rashi says all the points he says. So this is now the reason why the Torah first tells us regarding the beged, the garment, the details of what this garment is, what it includes in it. And then the Torah completes it. This completes the parsha of the Choshen itself, telling us what the Choshen, the actual garment itself is. And therefore, Messiah Makosov Mevayer in Yonev Tachlisa Shel HaChoshen. The pasuk concludes and says what this garment is and what the purpose of the garment is as well. V'nosa Aron Hashmeis B'nei Yisrael. This garment is about carrying the names of the Yidden that were inscribed in the stones. L'zikara in Lefnei Hashem Tomit, so that their memory should be in front of Hashem constantly. But v'rak achrei zeh bo atzivei ala Urim V'Tumim shuchoshen ha'mishpat. Then comes an additional command. Not that one detail was forgotten and the Torah gets back to it. It's an additional feature of the Choshen that's connected to the Mishpat. Dova Neisef al Etzem HaChoshen, it's an additional feature to the very Choshen itself as a garment. The Inyonoi, and here it's a different objective. V'hoyu alev Aron goyim v'nosan Aron es Mishpat b'nei Yisrael. That Aron HaKohen carries the Mishpat of Yidden. This is an additional feature that the Kohen is carrying a Choshen that's able to give a message to Klal Yisrael. Rabbi continues now to get back to the question we asked before about Mishpat, that Rashi brings two Pirushim about Mishpat, but he switches the order. The first time he brings it in one order, the second time in the opposite order. What happened over here? Why does Rashi switch the order the second time around? Fitting and according to what Rashi says over here. in the beginning of this pasuk. Shemichi yachboi shal shem oisak sav the urim v'tumim nikra mishpat, where Rashi explains that what is the urim v'tumim? It's what's inside the folds of the choshen. And Rashi says that in connection to that shame, that's inside the fold of the choshen, that's what the name mishpat is about. Like we explained, there's two parts to the choshen. There's the choshen as a garment, and then there's the choshen that has the feature of the shame of the ksav that causes the choshen to be a mishpat, that it's able to give a message. So now, in continuation to that, Mefarish Rashi Gamken be Pirushei Harishain. So here Rashi explains in his first pshat, Mashakasav La'alam b'pasuk, what it says in the continuation of the pasuk, Es Mishpat B'nei Yisrael. What's the pshat Mishpat B'nei Yisrael? Davashayim Nishpatim V'neichichim V'cholu. That the pshat of Mishpat is that this gives a judgment and a message, a clarity, a conclusion. So from that we understand that the Mishpat refers to the Urim V'tumim that gives the message. In continuation what Rashi said in the Pshat at the beginning of the Pasuk. So now we can understand why Rashi over here says Shepirish Zehu Ikri. That this is the main pshat of the word mishpat, kirak lefi pirish zeh, because only according to this pshat, nitin lahazber, is it possible to explain b'chdei the pshat of the pasuk here. B'chdei liyashiv hemshech haksuvim sha'orim v'tumim einam etzem ha'choshen kanal. Because the whole point over here is, Rashi is coming to clarify the order of the psukim. The Torah is dividing, making the choshen into two parts. There's the choshen as a garment, and then there's the additional feature of the choshen, which is the mishpat, which is the urim v'tumim. So only according to the pshat, that mishpat means the judgment in the sense of the message that the choshen is able to give through the urim v'tumim, do we understand that the urim v'tumim is an additional feature. It's not the choshen itself, it's the mishpat of the urim v'tumim. That's why Rashi over here brings this as the first and main pshat to explain the order of the psukim. Masha'en kim b'pirish Rashi le'el, which is not the case in Rashi earlier on the first time around, b'choshen mishpat, when Rashi comes to explain choshen mishpat the first time, sha'adayin ein hechrech, there is yet nothing forcing us to say, l'farish, sha'in the mishpat kaya l'urim v'tumim, that the word mishpat is related to the urim v'tumim placed inside the choshen. So therefore there, Poshut Tfei Lefarish in the Mishpat Kipshutai. There Rashi wants to translate in the first pshat the word Mishpat in its most literal sense, as far as the word itself is concerned. Miloshin Din. The word Mishpat means a judgment. Me Asher Lefarshoi Birur Dvarim. Then, to explain it like it is in the second pshat, that it's not about a judgment, it's about clarifying and giving over a message, giving an answer to a question that was asked. That's not the simple pshat of the word mishpat, which means judgment. There, when Rashi is just dealing with what is the more simple translation of the actual word, Maktim Rashi esapirish. There, Rashi first brings the pshat shemechaper al kilkuladin, that the word mishpat means literally we're talking about judgment, because the choshen brought atonement for any place where a judgment did not serve justice. Kihu aikke b'pshutish mikra alasar. That's the pashut pshat, as far as the word itself is concerned, right there, before we know about the urim v'tumim and the problem that will come up later. V'rak acha kach b'tor pirisheni, only as a second pshat, as Rashi say, dovar acha mishpat shemevara dvarov. That it's possible also to say that the mishpat means that it gives a clear message to the people that are asking a question. But over there, Rashi's dealing with what he's explaining there, that as far as the taich of the word is concerned, the simple pshat of mishpat is that it means judgment. Omnom, however, mitam ze atzmai. It's for this reason itself. Shako shaloi mashamishpat pirurei birur dvarim, that in the actual translation of the word, it's difficult to say that it means that it's a message that it gives, v'shehem nishpatim v'neichichim al yodai. Or as Rashi explains here, that it's that they are judged and they get a conclusion, judgment in the sense of that they get the message and the conclusion of how to do things. So that's one difficulty with saying the pshat, that mishpat would mean the message that comes out of it, relating to the urim v'tumim. The gam, another difficulty is, ki v'insha choshen nikra b'shem choshen ha-mishpat, gam terem shenosnu b'teiches urim v'tumim. The Torah refers to the choshen as a choshen mishpat earlier on, when it talks about making the choshen as a beged, before it even mentions the urim v'tumim. The Torah will repeat again, v'hoye mishpat l'bnei Yisrael, that the urim v'tumim will bring it to be a mishpat. But the Torah refers to it as a mishpat even the first time around when it's talking about the beged itself. So therefore, ein Rashi mistapik bepirushi harishon al pasuk didon. Even here, when Rashi has a reason to say that we don't only look at the translation of the word, but we look at the context of the parsha, and we could see that it makes more sense to say that mishpat refers to the urim v'tumim, and it does not mean mishpat in the literal sense as a judgment. It refers to the urim v'tumim that was inside, that gave a message, but even here, that's not smooth. This pshat is not 100% clear, because there are these two difficulties here, and therefore Rashi has to bring a second pshat. Shemishpat b'nei Yisrael hayna urim v'tumim, so therefore Rashi cannot just bring this first pshat that mishpat b'nei Yisrael refers to the urim v'tumim. Umaisif pirusheni da chayshen nikra mishpat al shem shemachaper al maufsei adin, that the mishpat, the chayshen, comes to atone for any judgment that wasn't done justly. The lefizem yoshev yaiser pirushe shel mishpat. According to this second pshat, the actual word mishpat makes more sense k'mashmoy, in the simple meaning of the word, that it just means judgment, and the pasuk already brings it before, even before it ever mentioned the urim v'tumim. Ella, however, this is only a second pshat. Why is this only a second pshat? The meyach asher pirish zeh kosher lohel mei bepashtus hemshech haksuvim. As far as looking in the continuation of the psukim, it's very difficult to say this pshat, that the word mishpat means that the choshen atones for bad judgment. Ukanal, as we explained before, dimkein lomale kolol akosef inyan urim v'tumim ben shar maisei choshen. If the urim v'tumim doesn't stand out as a separate feature of the choshen is one thing, choshen mishpat. The mishpat just means that it atones for bad judgment, but mishpat is not a separate feature at all. So urim v'tumim is not a separate feature either. So it should have been included as part of all the details where the Torah describes the choshen itself. So because, according to this pshat, that difficulty is not answered, l'chein kosav Rashi, so therefore Rashi says, shepirushei ze asheni hu lefi medrash agada. This second pshat, that mishpat here means simply judgment, that's according to medrash, but it doesn't fit into the pshat of the pasuk. The ima yois, although shebeprat echot korvu yois ole pshat ha-mikra. From one standpoint, this pshat of mishpat meaning judgment is actually closer to the pshat of the pasuk. Like that I've explained before, as far as the translation of the actual word, this is closer to pshat. However, hareli umazeh, on the other hand, eino misyashiv b'chlolos haksuvim. V'haparsha kula, looking at the whole parsha and how the Torah divides the description of the choshen into two, there's the beged, and then there's the additional feature of it being mishpat, that wouldn't be answered according to this pshat. So therefore it's brought as a second pshat, as a pshat from the Medrash, not as a first and main pshat. Now that Rebbe concludes here, after we're finished explaining the pshat of the pasuk according to Rashi, that we can now also understand according to Rashi what his opinion was regarding the Choshen in the second Beis HaMikdash, even though that's not the objective of what Rashi came to explain it. Rashi only brought the way it was done in Bayis Sheni in order to answer the question in the Seder of the Psukim, as the Rebbe explained. But we also understand Rashi's Shitta regarding the Choshen. Lefi Shitas Shel Rashi, Muvan Gam Al Derech HaHalacha. We could also understand Rashi's opinion as far as it is according to the Halacha of the Choshen in the Gemara and not only in the Pshat of the Pasuk. Eich Hoya Kohen Gadol Oivid BeBayis Sheni Kishachasra Urim V'Tumim. How was the Kohen able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, in the second Beis HaMikdash, if he was missing the Urim V'Tumim? He was missing the clothing. And this is something that's brought up in the Gemara, and the Rishonim talk about it, as the Rebbe points out in the footnotes here, there's the Rambam, there's a Tosfos, there's many Mefarshim that talk about this. But according to Rashi, the answer is simple. The fact that the Choshen is lacking the Urim V'Tumim inside of it, that doesn't affect the choshen as a beged itself, kiyim liyina mishpat. That's only an additional feature, which is the mishpat of the choshen. Lachain, ein ha-kohen gadol mechusse begadim behadorom. The kohen gadol is not lacking in his wearing of any of his clothing when he's lacking the urim v'tumim, k'mashkosav Rashi atzma b'pirushay, as Rashi clarifies over here. In the Ha'aris, the Rebbe brings that there are different ways how to solve this. The Ari Shainin that say that even in the second base of Mikdash, there was an urim v'tumim inside of the choshen, it's just that it didn't work. It didn't give that message and the words shining the way it was in the first Beis HaMikdash, but the Urim V'Tumim had to be there because they hold that it was an integral part of the Choshen. Then the Rebbe brings the Rambam's opinion that according to the Rambam, the Urim V'Tumim are the stones in the Choshen, which is obviously an integral part of the Choshen. It's not an additional thing that was placed inside the fold of the Choshen. So there are different pshatim regarding this. Different pshittas in the Rishayim. There's a big arichas over here in the Ha'aretz. But according to Rashi, it's very simple and clear. The chayshin itself, there's the chayshin as a beged, as a garment, or as an ornament. And then there's the chayshin that has an additional feature to give the message through the Urim V'Tumim. So now what we can take out of Rashi in a deeper level according to Chassidus, a deeper level in Pnimiyus HaTorah, so Mevor b'Chassidus. It's explained in Maimarim and Chassidus, Sha'achilo ke'ikri, shebein Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni, the primary difference between the first and second Beis HaMikdash, Asher Mishum Zeh Chosr Heidvarim b'Mikdash Sheni, the Gemara lists five things that were missing in the second Beis HaMikdash, that were there in the first Beis HaMikdash. So it says actually in Chassidus that the difference was Lehoya kol kach b'madrega is gilio l'kusha b'mikdash atzmai. As far as the actual presence of the Shekhinah and the revelation of the Eibishter in the Beis HaMikdash itself, that's not the main difference between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Ki gam b'mikdash hasheni hoya gilui p'chinas bino k'moy b'mikdash harishen. The level of Bino, which is the description of the level that was revealed in the first Beis HaMikdash, that level was revealed in the second Beis HaMikdash as well. Ki'im, where is the main distinction between the first and second Beis HaMikdash? She'ikara chilakoya ba'am shochas giloi b'chinas Bino b'gvulin. How this level of Bino that's revealed in the first Beis HaMikdash affects and comes out into gvulin, into the borders outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Shabbayis sheni, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, lehoya chayles lahamshich b'chinas Bino ela legabe atzmai v'loi b'gvulin. The Shekhinah that was there in the Beis HaMikdash was confined to the place of the Beis HaMikdash itself, and it didn't extend outward in the same way, like in the first Beis HaMikdash, to the Gvulin, into the Yerushalayim, into the rest of Eretz Yisrael, into the rest of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. That's the main distinction. But as far as the Beis HaMikdash itself, the presence of the Shekhinah was the same. Now the Rebbe brings this idea and applies it to the Choshen, what Rashi says here. Fi Pirish Rashi, now based on what Rashi says, Kain Hua Inyan Gambinagela Choshen. Based on the way we explained Rashi, we could say regarding the Choshen as well, there's two aspects to the Choshen. There's the Choshen itself, the beged of the Choshen, and then there's the message that the Choshen gives for people, for their behavior, how they should do things. HaChoshen Atzmoi Hoya Gamba Bayashani. As far as the Choshen itself is concerned, the Choshen itself is there in the second Beis HaMikdash, the same as in the first Beis HaMikdash. So just as we say regarding the Beis HaMikdash in general, that the first and second Beis HaMikdash, as far as the Shekhinah that's there in the Beis HaMikdash, it's the same with the Choshen. The Choshen itself is there. Hello, she'inyin ha-mishpat, the aspect, the additional feature of the Choshen, which is the mishpat of the Choshen, shal yadei nishpatim b'nei Yisrael va'olam, using the Choshen as a judgment in the sense of getting a message and a clarity of the behavior that people need to know what to do coming from the Choshen. Hainu pu'lasa shel ha'Choshen ba'olam, the effect that the Choshen has regarding the conduct of Yidden in the world in general, outside of the Choshen itself. In zeu shechaseraz, this is what was lacking in the second Beis HaMikdash. Etzem ha'Choshen ha'yakayim b'shleimusay gam b'bayis sheni. However, the Choshen itself was there fully complete in the first base and second base of Mikdash as well. Now, similar we can say also, although of course not on the same level as in the second base of Mikdash, but the Rebbe emphasizes similar we can say also now, Bizmana Golos, regarding the time of Golos. Omru Razal, Shechoshen Oisius Nochosh. It says in Kisvei Arizal that Choshen are the same letters as the word Nochosh, a snake. It says over there in Kisvei Arizal that Choshen Mishpat, which refers to judgment, which is something which can be harsh, its original source comes from the Nachash, from a snake, which is the source of all negativity in the world. Nachash HaKadmayini, the first snake that brought about Chetei Tzadas and all other problems in the world. That's on one hand. Uli'idach Yisa, on the other hand, Mavur B'Shem Rabbeinu Ephraim Mibali HaTosfos. It's brought in the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, which was one of the Bali Taisus, one of the Rishonim. Shechoshen b'gematria Mashiach. The Choshen itself is b'gematria Mashiach. So we have two total opposites regarding what the Choshen is related to. Whether the Choshen is related to the Nachash or the Choshen is gematria Mashiach. So the Rebbe explains, V'hine b'zman ha-golos, now in the time of golos, shebo mipnei chateinu, we are found in golos as a result of chateinu, shesibosom hisgabrus ha-meshche d'chivya al-nefesh al-kis. The cause of all sins is when the snake, the chivya, the snake, strengthens itself over the neshama of the yid. Hara'inyan ha-nochash u-begilui. The nochash aspect, which is the source of connected to the Choshen, that is what we are living with. That's the Matzev of Golos that we live with, and that's what's revealed. So the Golos Matzev, we see the Nachosh of the Choshen. But the Choshen as it is in the Beis HaMikdash, in its purest form, and of course in the sense that it's Mashiach, hu behelem, that is concealed in the time of Golos. But what does this mean? What this means, in other words, is sheyeshne haChoshen gam bezman haGolos. The Choshen really exists, the power of the Choshen exists, even in the time of Golos. Ela shu nimsa behelem, because of Chataenu, and we're in a matzav where the Nachosh overcomes us, so therefore the Choshen is in a different kind of a form. It comes out in a form where Yidden are in Golos and they're under the influence of the Nachosh. That's the way that we see the Choshen today. But v'zoi si avedaseinu b'zman ha-Golos, this is our aveda today in the time of Golos, lefaneach ulegales es ha-Choshen b'gematri Mashiach me'alomoy, to disclose and uncover and to reveal this Choshen, which is really Mashiach, to reveal it from its hidden state. So the Choshen again will be revealed, not only the Choshen, but also the Mishpat aspect of the Choshen, which is that the effect of the Choshen, which refers to Mashiach, the effect of Mashiach will be revealed in the entire world. Hine Choshen hu begematri Mashiach, the Choshen, which has the same gematria as Mashiach, shegile haChoshen, b'pchinas Choshen Mishpat, and not only the Choshen itself, but also the Choshen Mishpat, maybe, and through this Aveda, we will bring, maybe the gilei HaMashiach, we will bring the revelation of Mashiach, u bekarev mamish, speedily in our times.